So my name is Irene, and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ since I was about 16. Turning around, turning your will and life over to God, what does that look like? In step three, that's what we talk about. And the scripture that's up here, it talks about, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice and pleasing to God, as a holy and living sacrifice. Holy means being set apart, setting yourself apart from other people, turning away from what was, turning your life over to God. So what does that look like? So in your folders, we do a little acronym, and we do the letters of turn. And so the first letter is T, is for trust. Why is it so hard to trust God? I don't know if you have a problem with trusting God, but I think it's easier almost to trust in people because we see them. It's easier to trust strangers. It's easier to trust circumstances because that's what we have. If you've ever been driving along a road, a two-way road, and come across some construction, and you know that, you know, you got the little guy standing up there with the stop sign, and the other guy on the other side, he's got the slow sign, and so we're trying to get the traffic to go. Well, one time, I was up when we were living up in Big Bear, and I was crossing the rim, and I was about the third, and came onto some construction, and I was about the third car in line, so we're all waiting because our guy said stop. So the other cars were going, so the little car that leads you turns around and starts in front of us. So then we said, okay, go. So it's slow. So you know what it says on that car in front of you. It says, pilot car, follow me. Do I trust that guy? Do I trust that he can see? Can he drive? I don't know. I'm assuming so, but I trust him, even though I don't know him. So we're driving along, so we start going. And I guess the first car really trusted that guy because we're driving along, and when it's time for us to keep going straight and the pilot car turns, the first car turns around and starts driving backwards again. I guess he trusted him really, really well. I thought that was hysterical. But that's what we do. It's easy to trust of something that you can see and tangible. It's hard to trust God because he's not right here. We can see him. But it's your choice, not chance, that determines our destiny. That decision requires trust. It requires to put all of your faith in God, which in turn leads you to use an action. So you have to do something. So once you decide to trust, your next step is for you. The letter U stands for understanding. In Proverbs 3, I can't even talk tonight, sorry. I think I had too much coffee. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Lean not on our own understanding. Why? Because we don't know everything. We'd like to know everything. I don't understand everything. Do you understand everything? I don't understand why things happen. I don't understand why my husband died. I don't understand why my nephew died. I don't understand a lot of things in this world. But the cool thing is that we don't need to do that. We're humans. We're limited. We're finite. We don't have that ability. God does. He's limitless. He's exact opposite of that. If you look at a painting up close like this, you only see this little part of it. But as soon as you start stepping back, you get a broader picture. And that's the cool thing about God, because he's not sitting there just looking at this. He sees all of it. He sees your past, your present, your future. He knows what happened. He knows what's going to happen. And because while we're here on this earth, we just have to accept the fact that we're not going to understand everything. And that's okay, because we know that God does, through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. We believe that, and we trust that. So we trust in his understanding. Until we see Jesus face to face, and that fog of interpretation finally lifts, and we're going to go, ah, that's why you did that. I didn't see that coming, but we don't need to know that here. And I'm really grateful for that, because in my human little mind, it's too much to grasp. Why things happen. Why did my daughter turn to drugs for 17 years? I don't know. You know, why was my dad an alcoholic? I don't know. Why was he abusive to my mother? I don't know. But I will know someday, but I don't have to worry about that now because God knows. So the next letter is R, and that stands for repentance. And Mike talked about that, which I thought that was very cool, how he repented and turned away from his sins and turned toward God. So that's what repentance means, and that's when you actually turn like this. What was bad, the sin in your life, the things that enslaved you, is here, and you turn towards God. You have this load of, excuse me, is it okay to say crap in church? You have this load of crap that you have been dragging around you all your life, whether it's shame, guilt, bitterness, abuse, you're a victim of something, I don't know. But you've had this stuff back here. When you choose to turn away from that, and you're turning towards God, to the God who loves you, who sent his son to die on the cross for you. He loves you, and he delights in you, and you choose to follow him. And that's what this is all about, is actually leaving that behind. Unfortunately, some of us that aren't too smart sometimes, we turn away, but then we keep doing this. Well, how's that look back there? Did I miss something? Is it okay? Maybe I kind of want to step back a little bit and kind of keep touching it. Or, you know, you're looking in the rearview mirror, kind of checking it out, if it's okay, if they're surviving without you. And even worse, like some of us who are still don't have it all together, you're dragging it along with you. You want to follow God, and you've got this rope, and you're dragging all this junk with you. Okay, God, I'm coming. But you still all have all this stuff. To turn means completely turn around and follow God. And when you do turn, you're turning away from the things that enslave you, the things that chain you down, and you turn towards him. And why do we do that? Because he is waiting for you and because he loves us. And this is what he wants to do for us. Just like we would think your earthly father, a good earthly father, would do for his children. But more and better. And this is what gives you the last letter, is N, and it stands for new life. And new life is what he promises us. And it's not necessarily changing your physical life, as Mike pointed out so greatly in his testimony. It doesn't mean I was poor and da-da, I'm rich, or I was crippled and now I'm healed, or I was single, now I'm married, or I was fat and now I'm skinny. I mean, it can happen like that to some people, praise God, but not necessarily. What he's looking for is to change your heart. Not necessarily your circumstance, but you in the midst of your circumstance. Do you still trust him? Do you still believe him? And that's what the outward changes is not as important as the inward changes. And that's what he's looking for in us. And it changes your beliefs. You could believe all those lies that you've been dragging around in that pile of junk that you keep dragging around with you. But then you start believing in him. And you believe the truth that he's telling you, that you are his beloved. You're his sons and daughters. Princes and princesses of the Almighty King. When we start believing that, that's where our heart starts to change. And you no longer live under the power of sin. He has declared you not guilty of anything that you have or think that you have committed, which is pretty amazing when you think about not being guilty. I was watching a courtroom thing on TV, and it was about this guy who was, he was put in jail for like 25 years for something he didn't do. And they couldn't prove it. And then some new evidence came out and they brought him back into court. And the judge stood there and took the gavel and said, not guilty. I can't even imagine what that guy felt like, finally being free. And this is what it's like when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart and you choose to follow him, because you are free from all that baggage and all that junk that enslaves you and chains you down. Do we have Romans 3 up there? Yeah, there it is. All have turned away, and they have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Well, I don't think that's the right one. 22. Thank you. I don't have a Bible with me. Do you have a Bible with you? That's okay. He's going to read that. Because I just wrote, it says, anybody? No? Okay. Well, I'm just going to go on. So, what, you got it? Oh, there you go. That's it. He will declare us not guilty from our lovely enemy, Satan, who tries to drag us down and keep us living in that junk, or you can call it the house of pain. And he'll turn that house of pain into a lighthouse of hope. And he did that on the cross and when he rose again. But he doesn't do all the work for us. He doesn't like pick you up and go, okay, here you go. You don't have to do anything. I'm just going to, ta-da, wave your magic wand and go out. All is great. We have a job to do. We have a part in this. We have to take those steps. To turn is an action word. So you have to do that. You have to intentionally turn around. God can be over here calling you, Irene, come over this way. Oh, it looks good, but I can't. I have to turn away. I physically had to do that when I left my abusive marriage. I physically had to do that when I left an abusive father. You physically have to turn away. Is that easy? Not always. It's pretty hard sometimes. In John chapter 5, there's a story about Jesus coming to like a pool where a lot of sick people were, and it was called Bethesda. I think that's how you pronounce it. So you got all these sick people. They're crippled and blind and lame and diseased, leprosy and gross stuff. So they're all laying around. They wanted to go to the pool to get healed. Well, here comes Jesus, and he looks at this one guy who's laying there for 38 years. And Jesus looked at him. He says, do you want to get well? The guy goes, well, yeah, but I've been laying here for 38 years, and every time I try to get to the water, somebody's not there, or somebody goes before me, or nobody's there to help me, and la, 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 and the excuses go on. And Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And the man got up and walked because he trusted Jesus. He believed in him. He didn't even realize who he was, but there was something there that he believed in him. We have to get up and walk. We have to get up and turn around and make that decision. So my question to you is, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for somebody to pick you up and throw you in the water? Drag you in the water? Push you in the water? Pick up your mat for you? Fix you? Do it all for you? We all know people like that. But that's not what he wants from us. He wants us to get up and actually move. So, on that note, I would ask you to close your eyes and pray with me. Dear God, I have tried to do it all by myself, on my own power, and I have failed. Today, I want to turn my life over to you. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. You are the one and only higher power. I ask that you help me start to think less about me and my will. I want to daily turn my will over to you, to daily seek your direction and wisdom for my life. Please continue to help me overcome my hurts, hang-ups, and habits, and may that victory over them help others as they see your power at work and changing my life. Help me to do your will always. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so now we are going to go into our small groups. So